And God has a duty to judge and to put things in place. I said, if the man offends God, God is tired of him, God will kill him and he wouldn't ask your permission ahead of time. A few weeks later, the man dropped and died. I didn't think he was going to die. I did not know he was going to die. I wasn't even suspecting. I would just explain a principle to people that don't worry. In his season, he will handle. A few weeks later, the man died. Which month did he die? June. My alumni fellowship ends around 1st of May. You're thereabout. A few weeks later, the man died. That has always been my principle. And that was the reason why he was in power for 5 years. You did not hear one word of criticism against him from my mouth. Not because I liked everything he was doing, but because I said God is in control. And this is a commandment of God towards us as believers in the nation. And I obey that to the glory of his most holy name. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying this because many so-called Christians and true, genuine Christians, the reason why they react the way they react is simply because of fear. That's all. It is fear. They are afraid. And we've been talking about the fight against unbelief. So I want to explain something along that line. They are afraid. I've told you before, the way people pray against witches, if I were witches, I would kill them. If I was a witch, I would kill them. Why? Because God will not protect. I know God is not protecting these people. The fear that they show. You wake up, gather your wife and your children at 12 midnight, pray till 2 a.m. against witches. Honestly, if I'll be witch, eh? If I was a witch, I'm going to start chewing you people at 2:30. As soon as the prayers are over, I'm not kidding, no. Because just like the witches too don't know. I am so sure that God is not protected. That, you know why? All these prayers are prayers of fear. You are afraid. If you were not afraid, sleep. People who are not afraid are asleep. That is why I can't remember. Maybe it happened some time ago when I was a young believer. No, it never happened. It never happened. Why I'm sure it never happened is because as a young believer, I was learning the word of faith. We were being taught to declare the word of God. Greater is he that is in you. So it didn't happen. I'm sure it didn't happen. And if witches and wizards were not a popular problem amongst us. When I came out later on, you know, started preaching, started hearing all this wish problem. I had too much understanding to take them serious. Sometimes I actually think it's a joke. For that reason, I can't remember praying against any witch. I can't remember. Including the day one flew into my room. Oh, Lord is good. It's not a witch, right? It was just a bat, a stray bat that missed his way. He flew into my room. I just carried it and threw it away. Say, my man, move away from here. Many Christians will have been, they throw it away. They will kill it. And they'll be thinking we have overcome. Why? We killed a bat. If you overcame because you killed a bat, what about when you kill a snake? We're celebrating the victory. Brethren, join me. Celebrate the victory. What happened? I killed the bat. It did. Look, listen, I have never. God is my witness. I'm not lying to you. Pray by witches. Bind any witch that's against us. Like I keep on saying, do witches exist? Yes. But if you want to die, if you see any witch that's like, I'm tired of life. I don't like the new president-elect. I'm tired. Say, what do you want to do? I want to commit suicide. Say, come. That's Pastor Banky's house. Just jump over the fence and you will see. You will die quickly. Like somebody said, he won something I saw on CNN or in the news. He said, is there life after death? He said, cross this fence and find out. Man had wires around his property. If you want to know, just wait. I'm aiming on any intruder. When you cross this fence, you know that. Another fellow said, prayer is the quickest way to God. He said, but I know a quicker way. Jump this fence. No, that's my attitude with witches, so-called witches. You tell them you want to die. There's one guy. Jump his fence, you're guaranteed. Don't go and buy medicine. It's expensive. Just go and climb this fence. But wear your full witch's regalia. If you don't die at the other end, then they deceived you the day you joined the cult. You really don't have any witching power. Why do I speak like this? I am absolutely certain concerning the power of God that's on my side. More are they who are with me than those who are with them. The greater one lives in me. I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above principalities and powers and all the small witches that are attached to them. I am absolutely certain about it. So it is not a serious prayer point with me. I say this to you again. A lot of Christians in Nigeria, they pray, they talk, they behave like they are totally scared of Islam. They are. And their antidote is what even annoys me more. The antidote is a political arrangement. Let's all vote for a Christian president. It doesn't matter whether he gave his life to Christ that you are aware of. Whether he's filled with the Spirit doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Really, when I hear Christians talk, I'm angry. One man saw me today, not yesterday. Today. We have not seen since the election. So he works in my office. Okay, how far now? Long time. What did happen? Now, what happened? The president is a Muslim. The president elect is a Muslim. The vice presidential elect, vice president elect is a Muslim. Where are we going in this country? This is Islamization. They will soon pay the arrears of OIC dues. So I said, which vice president elect? Is it not your brother, Oshibajo? What? He's a Muslim? You know what I'm wondering? Which one is a Muslim? Which one of them? You know what I actually expect to hear? That I don't mind that man pretending, no, it's actually Tinubu that I expect to hear that. He said, no, Oshibajo is a Muslim. I said, what? I said, listen to me. I first met him in 1997 when we had a doctor's fellowship in Luz, and he was our guest preacher for the day. When did he become a Muslim? He said, eh. You know, I was shocked. I said, this was when Abacha was still in power, so it's not as if he was doing politics. There was no Tinubu as governor. There was no democracy in the air. So it was not as if he was pretending. They said, look, we had an outreach. It wasn't even an outreach. It was an outreach to other doctors. So the doctors' fellowship, we gathered together. I said, let's organize like a breakfast meeting. Invite the unbelievers to come. And then who do we invite to preach? Oh, people thought, okay, there's one professor in Lasso. He's a solid believer. He can minister to intellectuals, people who are, you know, well-educated. So let's get him. And it's this man that we got. That was my first time he came. I remember I was wearing a shirt and he was just casually dressed, talked in the morning about eternal life and how to tap into eternal life. And he asked everybody present to make a choice, either for death or for eternal life. And he went from one person to the other. I said, when did he become a Muslim? Do you understand? The man said, okay, I did not know. Okay, now you are telling me that they will pay arrears of OIC money. In the same manner that you did not know that man was not even a Muslim, you obviously do not even know what you are talking about. That's why a woman, like I told you, said to me that we will soon start wearing hijab. Christians talk for fear. What is pushing them is fear. It is not righteousness, it is fear. And fear will not let them do the will of God. And I'm saying it ahead of time. Let God do what he wants to do. We have a duty as Christians to pray for the government of the country. And if you can't go with this attitude, you can't pray, then the man will fail. With his Christian vice president, they will fail. And then we'll say, did we not say so? And the devil will say, yes, you said so. I was there when you were saying so. If you did not say so, how would I have been able to wreck your life? My ability to destroy every good thing that was coming towards you was because of your fear and unbelief. And we have established over the last few weeks that that's what happens. Unbelief, what happens? Peter sank. Jesus was there. He still sank. So I'm warning Christians ahead of time. Please watch your mouth. Once God has spoken, just leave him alone. Let him do what he wants to do. That's the point I'm making. The Bible says that heavens rule in the affairs of men. The Almighty rules in the affairs of men. And he gives the kingdoms of men over to whomsoever he wishes. Next line. And sets upon it the least qualified in the eyes of men. I was one of those who judged him not qualified. Personally. On a personal, not a Pastor Banky level. On a just a misbehaved level. Are you getting my point? I just did that. They talk nonsense. You know, everybody talks nonsense. You don't talk it once in a while. How will you release the evil that's inside you?
you know, to confess it and let it all go out. You won't know it's there. What is we have confessed, they may well have been forgiven. But the scriptures will still be fulfilled. But let me say something to you. He said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. That love of God, love, God's love is not hugs and kisses. God's love is he gives. For God so loved the world that he gave. Nothing can separate us from the gift that God wants to give to us in political stability, in, you know, economic development. Nothing can separate us from what God wants to give to us in the advancement, the free advancement of the gospel in this nation. Nothing, nothing. People say, eh, do you know that the Arabs gave money? Yes, it's good. It's the will of God. You don't know that. Strangers will build your walls. What are you talking about? Christians, you know, the way they talk, eh? You see, fear, did they fear? Nothing bad has happened. They're already afraid. Tomorrow now, I've seen all kinds of things. One day I was talking to one woman. He said, what do I think about the visit of the Islamic, there was a time the Sultan came to Enugu. What do I think? You know the funny thing, I never thought until that day. I said, ah, now you begin wire scripture for me. That they have come to trace the, you know, the, you know, if a Christian say all kinds of things. They say that all these statues at junctions in Enugu is idols. You've not heard that one? Oh, you should hear it. And really, there are statues in every junction. I didn't even notice. I was just driving past all my life. And they told me that Enugu now, we are planting statues everywhere. Christians, be awake! Okay, so ma, now that you are awake, what should I do? Go and destroy the statue. I destroy government property, I go to prison. What are you talking about? And none of these statues have I seen a sacrifice there. If you want to see sacrifice, follow me to Benin here, not too far. They don't need statue, now just junction. Once you find a junction at night, there will be a sacrifice. And listen, those sacrifices are not poisonous. If you are hungry, eat them. It's the will of God. I pray you will understand. That is different from eating things sacrificed to idols. There's a difference, oh. And people say, what's the difference? I can't go into it now. The issue, oh God, let me just drop. Somebody's asking. The difference between that and eating things sacrificed to idols has to do with worship. So you have to participate in a communion. You have to go for a celebration, an activity. If they drop it there and say they sacrifice to an idol and they go away and you out of hunger pull it from the junction and eat with thanksgiving, you are free. There's no communion in it. They've gone. That's why Paul would seem to be contradicting himself sometimes. They can be very close. And many, when the Bible says that God fills the breath of the air, many of these insane people we found on the road, that's where they eat. You've gone to Mr. Biggs. Mr. Biggs will come to them at night. They know where to go. At night. I told the story before of one man I saw, I read in a Full Gospel Businessman's Voice. They came and planted the sacrifice at his doorsteps. He opened his door in the morning, he saw the sacrifice there. He lifted two hands to God and said, God of miracle, now my papa. The guy dragged the sacrifice into the house, closed the door, gave thanks and ate. And he was telling the story as a testimony that there was a day I had no food. My enemies came and put a sacrifice as the door of my house. I was supposed to run me mental. But by that time, I already understood Christ. I understood the light of God. So I took the sacrifice and understood that it was a sacrifice unto the Lord. It was a live cock. He slaughtered the cock and made, you know, chicken, pepper soup, you know. People who are not afraid, that's how they behave. That is best. They are planting idols at junctions. It had not crossed my mind. I just been driving past. He said, you're walking in ignorance. Said, no. It's not ignorance. I'm walking in a kind of superiority. You understand? I'm far above level. Thank you. I saw those idols. In fact, there was one on my way to work. I stand three monkeys on top of each other. One looks confused. One looks happy. The other one looks hungry, you know? So I'm like, who is the joker who designed this thing? That's what I've been thinking of. Some people say it's an idol. They plant it in Enugu. Let me just say something ahead of time. Any idol that was not planted before the year 2000, September 2000, it was too late to plant it. The one that was planted before that time. It's already been uprooted. You say, what happened in September 2000? I'll tell you, I arrived. That was when I arrived. After that, any idol, listen, when we came to Enugu, I was discussing yesterday, Pastor Murphy, my wife and his wife. Then when we came to Enugu that time, armed robbers everywhere. They say armed robbers like V-boot. Me too, I now went to buy a V-boot. They say armed robbers like it. I said, that makes two of us. Armed robbers like it, Pastor Banky likes it. I said, however, there's a difference. The armed robber was not sent by God to this city. I was. And I preached from this platform. I said, they will not run me out of this town. I will run them out of this town. And I think I even said it on air. I said, armed robbers will not run me out of this town. I will run them out of this town. Why? I was sent by God. They were not. Last year, the IG said Enugu is the safest city in Nigeria. From the time when they used to toss people in boots and all of that, to last year, they now said we're the safest city in Nigeria. I said, yes. Why? Because we continue to declare the counsel of God. Any idol that was not planted before, then it's too late. They can't plant it. Listen, let me declare another word. I will drive around all these junctions I normally do, all right? Anyone I drive by next, if the idol doesn't, if that carving, the image doesn't fall down within 24 hours, it is not a god. It's just a carving. It's just decoration. You know, Christians talk as if they are being attacked, eh? And they need to know how to hide. The Bible says that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Brother Miles Morrow, God bless you. He explained that to me once while I was watching his video. He said, gates, now listen to this, that gates are for defense. You know, I grew up thinking that the gates of hell is the attack of hell. Miles Morrow said, no, no, no. That gates don't attack. What do gates do? They defend. That when the Bible says, the gates of hell shall not prevail, Jesus assumes that we are the one attacking. Amen. That is, hell has built a wall around where it has taken captive. The only way into a city is the gate. So when he hears that the church is coming, he locks the gate. And then the church comes like Joshua against Jericho. And we start, bam, bam, battering ram against his gate. And Jesus said, the gates of hell cannot withstand the onslaught of the church. We are the one on the attack. We're not the one on defense. Christians talk as if they're on defense. Islam is coming to run us over. That 90, okay, don't say 90%. The majority of Christians who did not vote for Muhammadu Buhari, that was their problem. Fear. Now, listen, I didn't vote for him. So let me just put that also on record. I had my own reasons. Okay? And if you read what I wrote then, in the time of elections, I said, no matter how prophetic and how accurate you are in your voting, because I said every Christian should go and vote. Every Christian should go and vote. I said so. I said, because it's a civic duty, and it is a sign that with your vote, you make a statement. When you vote for somebody, there must be a reason. That you cannot be like the joker who was my roommate on campus, who hated a candidate because he felt the fellow was incompetent and wouldn't take the association forward. It was the association, all right? Lost the association. He felt the fellow couldn't take the association forward. Yet he voted for him. I said, you voted for him? Why? He said, you see, he's my brother. Jesus Christ. If you are not stood here and taking like 15 minutes, 30 minutes, tearing this guy to pieces on how useless and incompetent the fellow was then, I wouldn't have been... I mean, everybody has the right to whoever he wants to vote for. Even if you had told me that it's my brother, I had to vote for him. He's okay with me. But why did you tell us clearly that this man will never do well for this association, that his tenure as president is going to be a bad one? You knew all of this, and you put your finger to vote for him. If you were God, wouldn't he punish you? No, think about it. I told Christians, don't behave like that. Your vote is a statement. So we can differ. But now I wrote at the end, I said, no matter what you said with your vote, the Almighty still rules in the affairs of men, and he still puts on the throne whosoever he wishes, not what you all agree on. And once he's done that, let him do it. I mean, God saw my heart. I was totally open to it, anyone. But I had my desire, and I had my reasons. Having said all of these things, God chose who he wanted to choose. He did. And what I'm saying this is that we cannot walk into the next season of our life in unbelief. You don't forget, Peter started walking in faith. The unbelief sank him. We have come this far in faith. The next stage of our development, God said, these are the people that will pilot it. Why he chose them, what they are supposed to do, we don't know. When he chose Abacha, we found out later why he did. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like my friend Pastor Corrigis in Sokoto said, that nobody else could have deposed the sultan. Nobody else. You are getting my point? So I don't want Christians to go into the next thing, because you go around, people are, they're not planning to pray again. It's as if God, you failed us. One of our sisters actually said that, please let us pray for the northern Christians, that they have been hurt by the southerners who voted for Buhari. Yes. That they feel betrayed. So, what didn't I hear today from ignorant people? Sometimes you can't talk to ignorant people. You know, you don't know, what should I do? What do I do to this person? That is this how people talk, think? Somebody say, you know, in the West, there are a lot of Muslims. I said, these Muslims, were they not there 4 years ago? I happen to know majority of my friends in Lagos who voted for Buhari are Christian. I don't have Muslim friends. Well, I hardly have. In fact, to call somebody a friend, I don't know anyone that's a Muslim. Yet, a huge chunk of my friends voted for him. One brother, dear brother, used to lead prayer here. Those early days, he's the one that used to tear this place down with prayer to start. He told me, sir, my candidate won. He's in Anambra State here. And they had their reasons. People said, hey, no, it's because the West had a lot of Muslims. I said, what is? I said, look, for example, in Ondo State, why did he win? Because they were angry with the governor, who unfortunately for PDP, they came to PDP just a few months or 2 months or so before the election. So they just took the anger, you know, and voted against him. And good luck suffered. All of this is God was manipulating his way and bringing forth his will. Please, we Christians cannot continue in unbelief. I sense too much of it around. We have to continue in the faith with which we began to pray for this country, knowing that God was hearing, and we continue to hear. Let me prove to you again that God heard. We all are free for, you know, violence and all of that, and we prayed specifically against it. To prove to you, it was not a game of chance. I told you the other day, when I heard some news, my soul was troubled. I wanted to pray. And my friend, Pastor Courage, said something. He said, look, he told our brethren, any prayer, he said, we have prayed, God has heard us. If he hasn't heard us, it's too late. And he's in Sokoto. He's a pastor there. He should be the type of person that says, hey, let's pray. He said, we have prayed. If he hasn't heard by now, sorry, it's too late. What should we do? He said, everybody, please start giving thanks and leave it there. Just relax and watch. Yes, I called him one day. He told me some things. God, my soul was troubled. So, I wanted to pray. I didn't know how to pray. So, I just picked up my phone and I called our sister. I said, Mommy, please. I just said, you know, it's good to have spiritual people. I just, Mommy, how now? Hi, my pastor, how are you doing? I said, tell me something. My soul is troubled. I want to pray. I don't know what to say. What's going on in this country? I just said, what's going on in the country? You know what I'm talking about. She said, yes. She didn't just say, you see APC is leading, oh, then the PDP are lost in this place. Oh. No, she just said, oh, there will be no trouble. Because we prayed. About 4 weeks ago, I was praying, and then I saw in a flash a vision. And I saw 4 mighty angels with their swords drawn and spread over the country. They were in 4 corners of this country. He said, that was God's way of telling me it will be well. I said, thank you. I got to Lagos. This weekend, I was in Lagos preaching. When I told this story now, as part of my message, the pastor came and said that, you know, I came to confirm many of the things that have been going on. That what they had prayed about, in fact, that day, He made everybody do it in church. They faced each direction of the corners, you know, north, south, east, west, and started thanking God. He said, because this was exactly how they did it weeks before, and faced each corner of Nigeria declaring peace. And they said then that God had dispersed his angels and they were at the four corners of the country. They did not know this other person that said this. So when I told the story, he was excited to hear it. That this is a confirmation for what God has been doing. Who tells you or who told you that God didn't hear your prayers? You see Christians walking on the road and they are explaining, you see, this is the problem. You people who don't come and vote, where's your PVC? Where's your PVC? And they are still angry that Christians did not collect their PVC. That's why they now think everybody is a Christian. Even the guy who, you know his wife, you know his three girlfriends, you know his behavior, you know the church he goes to, you know he follows T.B. Joshua. Suddenly, he's a Christian now. When it was election. So we Christians should come together. Whether you believe or not, doesn't matter. Whether you're an adulterer or not, doesn't matter. Whether you're a thief or not, once your name is Philip, Andrew, John, you're a Christian, come, let us vote for the same candidate. Hey! Tufiakwa. God forbid, Batty. Listen, my people, God heard us. I said, God heard us. Let me tell you again, and this is a prayer again, and your amen, please let it be resounding from your heart. This country will move forward in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No good policy that is good for the advancement of this nation will be reversed by the new administration in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want to tell you something. How many people know that Pastor E. Adeboye is a Christian? If you believe this, amen.
Amen.
If you believe that God loves him, he's a Christian. If you believe that God loves him, give me an amen.
Amen.
Okay. If you believe that I am a Christian, that's why you came here, I'm a preacher. Say amen.
Amen.
If you believe that God loves me, say amen.
Amen.
If you believe that God loves you, say amen.
Amen.
If you believe that God wants Buhari to go to hell, say amen. If you believe that if he was the only person born, Jesus would still have died, say amen.
Amen.
If you believe that he needs the gospel of God and God loves him, please give me an amen.
Amen.
If only because of that, you should pray for the man. Pastor E. Adeboye is not one iota of spiritual quantity loved more than Muhammadu Buhari. Muhammadu Buhari also needs to believe. Let's thank God for the vice president elect. Maybe he's the one that God will use to reach him. You think Muslims cannot be reached? No, Christians talk like that sometimes. I should give you my book to read, Dreams and Visions, how people who are staying in royal houses in Saudi Arabia are Christians, but they just don't tell anybody. How young women in pudas there who don't go out get converted. Some of them, they get killed and they don't care. I pray we'll be like Christians. Behave like one. We'll have the heart that our father has towards people. Let me declare to you again. God loves Nigeria. Give me an amen.
Amen.
This country will move forward despite anybody in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Power will be constant in this nation in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Pastor Murphy said something when we were at home yesterday, that the revival will break out and it will start from Enugu. If you believe that, give me an amen.
Amen.
If you know it has already started, give me an amen.
Amen.
And I told him, I said, there will be a physical parallel. We will generate power. You know, as spiritual power is breaking out, we generate physical power from this state in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We'll export it to the rest of the states of Nigeria in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Aliko Dangote is building a refinery in Lagos. It will be completed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
People say, the man has money. What is he looking for? If you say like that, please, may you have toothache for 2 days until you repent.
Amen.
He's not looking for anything. God is using him. That's all I have to tell you. If he builds a refinery, is he going to drink the fuel? I am not, physically speaking, I don't have a 1 over
1 million, the amount of money that man has, physically speaking. Spiritually, I'm richer, all right? But physically speaking. Yet, currently, food is not a problem. Clothes I will wear is not a problem. Now, so at this my level in life, you understand? I'm thoroughly, God has just, yes. So what do you think that God is looking for? That's what I'm going to explain. But let me pray for him again. He will finish that refinery in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And for being a blessing to this nation, God will make him see the gospel of Jesus in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He needs it. He needs it. Why did I refer to him? Last time I read in the news, they were jacking up the capacity of the refinery in design. When it is done, it will be the singular largest refinery in the world. You think it's only beer we can brew? We can refine crude. And they now said, the people speaking say that when it gets to that level, we will not be able to handle the capacity. They will have to start exporting it. Father, in the name of Jesus, it will happen.
Amen.
And it will happen sooner than they planned in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, this train that we hear every day, it will triple in the number of times we hear the noise in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It will crisscross this country in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It will come to pass that an average worker will be saying, do I go by train or go by air? Okay, let me just go by train so that I can just, let me take some time. You know, that's how available it will be in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We will progress.
Amen.
Peace will be our portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The testimony we heard of Enugu, how safe it is, it will spread to Ebonyi, to Anambra,
Amen.
To Imo,
Amen.
To Abia. Abia needs that thing. To Abia. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is spread to every corner of Nigeria in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It will come to pass that before a thief finds a gun to buy, he will work hard. And by the time he finds it, we will catch him.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Over the next few years, Lord, police, when they come, and like the other day, some people broke into the properties around. They even entered our office. Then they moved out again because I think they found it's the wrong place. But they just come, look, and go away. It will happen that they will dust for fingerprints in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I have an idea for making our policemen behave. Let me not describe it publicly. But God will execute that idea in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, great will be the progress of this nation.
Amen.
We will export this gospel, pure one,
Amen.
To the rest of the world in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
From here, Enugu, and from the rest of Nigeria,
Amen.
Pure truth will come out into Arab nations.
Amen.
We are the ones that will evangelize the Arab nations.
Amen.
God loves them as much as he loves the Israeli. I hope you know that. Osama bin Laden was not less loved by God than Benjamin Netanyahu. A non-believer is a non-believer, even if Abraham is your father. I hope you know that. Jesus said it. Christians talk as if they don't hear the Lord Jesus. They say, the Jews are our brothers. Until they believe, bros, you are a non-believer. Paul said it clearly. Are you getting my point?
Sure.
But my emphasis is that those Arab nations around that don't know the gospel, Americans can't preach to them. We are the ones that can preach to them. Therefore, we will do it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we say, Lord, you will keep our gospel pure until that time in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We will not go into an Arab country and make it look like God is a God of the Jew across the border and is angry with them. No, God is angry with everybody who will refuse to believe, but he loves everybody who is a sinner who is willing to believe. So that they will know that God indeed loves them. That is our mission. I will fulfill it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Concerning Nigeria again, we declare. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end.
Amen.
This gospel will prosper in this land in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This indignation that has taken northwest, north, is it northeast now? That's Borno State. Northeast, yes. That has taken the northeast under its grip for a while. The indignation will come to an end in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And as it is coming to an end, Lord, we declare that that will be a plowing and a harrowing. the word will now be sold into that land in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It will come to pass that anybody that rises up against the progress of that gospel will be destroyed by that word in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It will happen that the band of men and women that you sent there, fire will come out of their hands against their enemies in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When they appear, people will say, blessed are those who come in the name of the Lord. They will be received so, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This country, Lord, is yours. We say, sit on our throne, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We come. We give you our Sorok again.
Amen.
We give it to you again.
Amen.
Rule from there in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, I prayed a prayer that day, and many of my brethren prayed it too. We said, nobody will sit on that seat who will not work for the freedom to preach the gospel, who will not work for economic and, you know, political and legal and all kinds of prosperity in this country. Anyone who sits there will do your will.
Amen.
They will do your will.
Amen.
After all, you said, the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. Nigeria's president, his heart is in your hands in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, we pray we repent of every evil thought against anybody, either the current president or the president-elect. We repent of it and we say, Lord, let our unbelief not paralyze what you want to do for us.
Amen.
But let our faith, Father God, speak for us, and your mercy, Father God, overshadow our shortcomings.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.
All